This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get everybody and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. Today we'll talk with you about how to reduce stress and yell less during the holidays. This is a time of cheer and giving, but it's also a time when people's stress levels go up. There are gifts to buy, parties to plan, and relatives to see. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. Many parents find themselves yelling at their kids, but they're also surprised because it's the holidays when everyone's supposed to be happy. When parents are on edge, it's all too easy to take it out on the kids. We want to hear from you today. When do you find yourself getting frustrated and angry with your child? What sets you off? And if you used to yell a lot and you learned how to yell less, how did you do it? Maybe you've made different plans this year so you can relax and enjoy your family and friends, or perhaps you're just not sure how to make some changes. We'd be happy to hear from you as well. We'll talk with you about some simple things you can do. If you want to be part of the conversation, call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. We would love to know how things are going at your house. And also let us know if the economy is really impacting your stress level this year. Joining me in the studio is Julie Kurtz. She's the new executive director of the YMCA Fremont Newark, and Julie joins the Y team after coming from being a deputy director at First Five Santa Clara. While at First Five, her greatest accomplishment was starting the diabetes and obesity prevention and intervention programs, including organizational wellness for First Five and all the funded partners. Julie has over 20 years of experience working with children and families in the community. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, operating a part-time private practice as well in the East Bay. She's married and has two teenage boys. Julie Kurtz, welcome back to Childhood Matters.
Thank you, Rona. I love coming here, and this is my favorite show. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you, Julie. Well, let's start off with talking about holiday stress and how it impacts parents and kids. Maybe you can say something from what you've noticed both professionally and also personally. What kinds of things make us more likely to be irritable and lose it with our kids?
Oh, I think the holidays, it's such an oxymoron. You look at every commercial and everybody looks so happy during the holidays, and every TV show you ever see, it's supposed to be everybody gets together and you're at the happiest time. Christmas and Hanukkah and the holidays are supposed to be the happiest time. When Kwanzaa is supposed to be the happiest time. And I find for many parents and many friends I have, it is one of the most stressful times because it's the ramping up at both the workplace and at home of getting ready for the holidays. And so all your relatives are calling and you have to make plans. And that brings up issues if you've got all family coming in, and that increases the stress. And the workplace is having holiday parties and you're having to spend extra money. And you might be, especially in this economy, not able to do the financial things that you see on the television. And it makes for a much more stressful time.
Right. And again, that when an adult is feeling anxious or stressed, it's more likely you're going to be irritable with your children. And of course, it's not their fault, but they're such an easy target. And sometimes they're also thrown off balance because, you know, they're getting off school, so they don't have their routine.
Yeah.
Maybe they're eating a little too much sugar, perhaps.
I think during all those holiday parties, you get the kids eating a little more sugar. They feel the energy around them at school. They have less structure because at school they're having more celebrations. So
right.
They come home a little more hyper, and the adults as well. And then there's a tremendous amount of ramping up of stress with the planning of adding all this additional family coming and holiday planning and shopping. And
yes,
it adds stress on both ends. So the energy in the family is ramped up to a higher temperature. And so everybody feels a little bit more on edge.
And I definitely want to talk about how normal that is, but also what we can do to bring it down and come back to ourselves and really think about what these holidays mean to us. I think it's really important to do that. Also joining us this morning by phone is Troy Dufresne. He is a writer specializing in psychology, food, and travel writing. He's the co-author of many books, including 30-Minute Therapy for Anxiety, also Coping with OCD, that's Obsessive Compulsive Disorder, Mindfulness for Two, and Things Might Go Terribly, Horribly Wrong. His blog, Fumbling for Change, is featured in the Psychology Today website. He's also an editor at New Harbinger Publications, which is a leading publisher of psychology books. He divides his time between San Francisco, Bay Area, and Austin, Texas. Hi, Troy.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. I was real calm, and now I'm starting to get a little ramped up here just talking about this subject. When it comes to stress and yelling around the holidays, what do you think are some of the triggers that are going on for people?
Well, you know, the season does get very busy, as you two have just talked about. The other thing I think was popping into my head as I was listening to you talk is a time of year when we have a lot of expectations for ourselves, and we tell ourselves a lot of stories about how our life should be. And if we get caught up in those stories, it's very easy to let them run our lives. And we stop having the ability to sort of clearly choose how we want to navigate our lives through these periods. And I think that's a big problem.
That's a really good point. And you can kind of like get stuck there, sort of telling those stories about what's not right, what I don't have, or even things like how things are going to go bad. I think it's easy to get stuck. You have a new book. It's the 30-Minute Therapy for Anxiety. It's kind of like a little handbook or a quick reference guide in a way for things people can do to reduce anxiety. What are some of the things that help for anxiety and also are good stress busters?
Well, I think if it comes to eliminating a feeling of stress during this time of year, probably the most effective thing that I can think of would be something as simple as just pausing throughout the day a few times to take maybe 6 breaths on purpose, to just look around you and see where you find yourself at that moment, and just for no other reason than just to do it, take 6 breaths that you intend to take, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It sounds incredibly simple, but it goes a long way to short-circuiting some of these things that, you know, we were just talking about, these stories that you can get caught up in, or times when you just don't really have a clear idea of what it is you're doing, only you feel harried and out of control.
Right. That's right.
That's very effective.
I think it's great. And, you know, this little handbook that you have, it's connected to a website, and I went on it last night to see. And then you have all these exercises that people could do regarding mindfulness or breathing or stress reduction. So I think it's a very nice way to, again, sometimes we know what to do, but we forget. Julie, I think taking a breath is one of those key interventions that we can all do, and we forget to take that intentional breath. Of course, we keep breathing, otherwise we wouldn't be alive.
Yeah, and I think, Troy, you make a really good point about taking a breath, and I'll say it in just a little bit of a different way that makes sense for me, is we're going nonstop. And I think when we stop and take a moment to reflect on what's important to us and what we really want and what we want our lives to be, especially during the holidays, then I think we become more mindful about making conscious choices rather than just getting caught up in the anxiety of going. And I think that's part of the problem. You know, one Christmas, because I celebrate Christmas, so for my family, I made a decision to not put up any holiday decorations because it was just a piece of stress that I wanted to eliminate. And I had so many people come over my house and make judgments. My family, my son's girlfriend, just everybody coming over saying, why don't you have decorations up? And it was like all I could hear was, what kind of a mother are you? And I tried to make that choice to eliminate an additional stress for me that particular year. So it's it's a challenge.
Oh, yeah. I think you're bringing up a great point. And I'd love to hear from people of what kind of pressure do you get from relatives, from children, from and here you are saying, you know, I'm not going to do holiday cards, or I'm not making 5 pumpkin pies this year, or whatever it is, or I'm making them and giving them away this year instead of eating them all ourselves. Tell us this morning. Let us know what you're dealing with, strategies, and also frustrations that you're having during the holidays. 1-877-372-KIDS. Let's start off with Yvonne this morning from Albany. Hi, Yvonne.
Hello.
Thanks for calling this morning.
You're welcome. So I'm very much relating to this topic, and especially when my kids were much younger, there was a time that was very difficult. I was going through a divorce, and they were really young, like a newborn and a toddler, and I was really aghast at myself. I'm also a psychotherapist, so I put another layer of guilt there on top of everything.
That's right.
Thinking that I should know better. And I meditate, you know, so I have lots of reasons why I shouldn't be getting angry.
That's right.
And I was finding lots of reasons to get angry about all kinds of little things and, you know, just feeling exhausted and frustrated and getting really scared, you know, that this was happening. And I also found that anger is so surrounded by shame. It's not like anyone asks us, how are you doing? And we say, guess what? I just yelled at my kids.
That's right.
You know, so what I ended up doing was reading lots of books and doing a lot of reflection and learning a lot. And I'm happy to say that looking into things is really very helpful. And now I'm offering an anger and stress management series for mothers to look especially through the lens of mindfulness. So I was very happy to hear about this program and your speakers today.
That's wonderful. Is this through in the Bay Area that you're doing this?
Yes, it is. I'm in private practice in Albany.
Great. Well, I've been doing these classes in the Bay Area in the last few years called, you know, Was That Me Yelling? And it's, I'm finding, I just did it for a group of preschool parents, and there were like 120 people there, and it was such a fabulous night. Because I think what we're doing is saying there is nothing to be ashamed of. There's sometimes a way in which you want to decide, I don't want to do this. I'm not happy with yelling at my kids. I'd like to stop. I'd like to make that change. But so much of it is about not taking care of ourselves, and then being, you know, that makes it that much harder to stop yelling at your child. Or for you, the stresses of divorce, and we're going to talk about that in a few weeks, actually. We're going to do a show all about divorce, because there's a lot you have to do to just hold it together at that time. Troy, is there anything you'd like to say here to Yvonne?
I noticed as she was speaking that you know, two phrases that jumped out at me. I should know better and shouldn't be angry. And those are red flags for me that we have some more of this kind of story issue getting caught up. We have ideas here that we're getting wrapped up inside, and you know, that there's something that should or shouldn't be the case, rather than just sort of seeing what is the case at any given moment. So I think I probably would have attacked it the same way that she did.
Yeah, good. And Julie, that whole idea of perfection that so many of us have. I read a book called The Gift of Imperfection, and the whole thing there is about shame, really about shame, that we have to try so hard to be so perfect. And when you gave up doing decorations that year, mm-hmm. you know, people were surprised that you weren't the sort of the perfect mom, right?
It's hard to let that go. You know, growing up as a little girl and seeing all the little shows about what family should be or what the holidays should be. And we put so much pressure on ourselves to be perfect and to compare ourselves and to live what Troy says, that should. And you know, when it comes to yelling, if we go back to the subject of kids, when it comes to yelling, it's Why are we yelling? Are we intentfully raising our voices in order to make something happen? Do we have no other parenting tools in our toolbox? Or is it because we're so anxious and stressed out? That is the important piece to look at. Yeah. Because that will impact our children and affect them and ultimately affect their self-esteem. So unless we become aware of why are we yelling and why are we choosing to do that, and where is that coming from, then we won't progress to a higher state of consciousness.
Thank you for that. And Yvonne, if people wanted to find out about your classes, how would they do that?
I have a website. So my name is Yvonne Mansell. Or my phone number is 510-528-9551.
Well, great. And if anyone didn't get that, they can always contact us at 1-877-372-KIDS, and we can pass that on. Yvonne, thank you for that. And I know, keep listening, and I know there's a lot more that I'm sure you pass on to the parents you work with. I appreciate you calling this morning.
Not at all. Thank you for your program.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
And I think that, you know, when I talk to parents about yelling, it starts with the idea that it's something you don't want to do. And again, I want to stress that once in a while having to say, now, guys, take a listen, or you need to do this, raising your voice, being firm, isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that experience of really feeling out of control, not being able to communicate respectfully to your kids, to your spouse, whoever it is, to the dog, and really understanding that you don't want to do that anymore. And I think if there's anyone who's listening this morning who feels like they're right at that place, they know they don't want to do that anymore, but they're not quite sure how to make that change, I think it's important for us to say that that's the first step. And for me, in the work that I've done and for myself, it's always about observing, when do I do this? And, you know, Troy, you've worked a lot with Dr. Matt McKay, and one of my favorite books is his book, When Anger Hurts Your Kids. It's a little book also, not hard to read at all. People can find it on Amazon. And it's a book that tells you about anger logs, how to just sort of log what you're feeling, what's going on, so you can see, gosh, it's always around 4 o'clock that I'm yelling at my kids. And this is in general, not just around the holidays. If you notice that, then you have a chance to say, what can I do differently at 3:45 that would make perhaps that yelling be less? Maybe that's when we need a snack. Maybe that's when we need to turn on music. Matter of fact, I have music to give away to people who call today if you'd like. I have Juno Baby, which is a great CD to give away. But I think that anger log is part of the key in observing. Troy, is that something that you've suggested to people to use as well?
Sure. It's managing anger has a lot to do with just being aware that it's happening. And it's almost the case that anything you do that slows you down will be of benefit. Because, I've heard it mentioned a couple of times here that there's a difference between raising your voice with intention and raising your voice in a reflexive, non-intentional way. And it is likely the case that moving quickly and not being aware of choosing what you're doing from moment to moment is really at the core of that problem. So if you're logging, if you have personal triggers that get set off.
Yeah.
So you sort of make a commitment to yourself that if a certain set of behaviors happen, you will stop and walk around the block or go lock yourself in the bathroom for a count of 10, something like that. Anything that slows you down so you can catch those moments in flight, that will certainly help.
Yeah, I think that's so key. Thank you for saying that, Julie. It's like having to put in place things to slow you down. I mean,
that's exactly, Rona. I think when you're constantly reacting based on your anxiousness, you're missing a step. And the step is, you know, slowing down, reflecting, being mindful, but also learning new problem-solving skills and what those might be. So if, like Troy said, you're finding yourself over and over lashing out, I think you need to stop and think about that pattern and try to develop some new tools.
Today we're talking with Julie Kurtz, the new executive director of the YMCA Fremont Newark. She's also a licensed marriage and family therapist. And also Troy Dufresne. He is a writer specializing in psychology, food, and travel writing, and co-authored many books, including The 30-Minute Therapy for Anxiety, Mindfulness for Two, and Things Might Go Terribly, Horribly Wrong. I want to make a quick announcement. We survived. Yes, our show has been saved. We announced last week that we would have to go off the air in December. But this week, we found out that some gracious donors and agencies have stepped up to give us enough money so we can continue to bring you live radio every week. You can imagine I'm very grateful. We're out of the woods for right now, but we continue to ask you for your support so we can have enough money for 2012. You can go to childhoodmatters.org to make a donation of any amount. And hopefully next week we'll be able to announce to you some of the people, some of those angels who have stepped in. I want to take more calls now. We have Lisa from Benicia. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for joining us. What's your question or comment or concern?
Well, I your show just really struck a chord with me this morning. I'm actually on my way to work. I'm fortunate enough that I can work in healthcare, and I've started work adding on and working weekends because money is definitely tight this year.
Yes.
But also, you know, during the holidays, my mom is going to visit, and I feel like she has different disciplinary styles than I do.
Uh-huh.
I have three kids, 5, 3, and 1.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I just feel judged by her. I feel, you know, criticized, and I can already start to feel the anxiety starting.
Yes. Oh, boy, you're saying something that I'm sure there are a lot of people out there just nodding their head and saying, you know, what do I do when, you know, things are busy, I'm under stress, I'm working, I have three kids, and you know, young kids, and now mom's going to come and I'm going to feel stressed. And is she going to stay long, and is she staying with you?
She is staying with me.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully she's sounds horrible. Hopefully she's not going to stay very long. We haven't decided that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's tough. It's tough because she's, you know, it's not like she could see the good, quote unquote, good sides of my kids. You know, she sees it all.
That's right.
And so I get the eye rolls or the sighs, and it's tough.
Well, this really is tough. Wonderful. And I have to say, as a grandmother, you know, going to visit my grandchild sometimes, I really appreciate how when someone else comes into the house, everything changes. And I think as a grandma, I've come to love all sides of my children and grandchildren. And I think that's where we hope that people will have that compassion. But often relatives don't have the same way of thinking you do. Julie, how would you advise our listener here about what she could do to take care of herself?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the ins and outs of your particular family and what's safe or not safe to do. And taking care of yourself is very important. But one idea might be to sit down with your mom. First, look at her intent. Why does she do that? She's trying to be helpful, and that is her way in the world. And I might sit down with her and say, Mom, I love you so much, and I'm so happy you're here. And I know that when you roll your eyes and when you give criticism, you're trying to be helpful because you really want to be helpful and you want to make a difference. But I want to let you know that it hurts me, and it's hurtful, and it's hard for me to have you in my home when you do that. And I really know how much you're trying to help, but I would appreciate if you did not do that. And sometimes we need to cut through it all and be very direct. But we have to be direct in a way where we look at the intention of what the person is trying to do, that she's not trying to be hurtful.
That's right.
And then they'll open up usually and be more open to talking with you.
And again, my kids have done that with me, and it's extremely helpful. And I have to then take a deep breath myself and go, oh, right. You know, I'm a person based on my conditionings. But Elisa, you may or may not feel that you can step out of that, you know, daughter, mother, you know, role where you can actually see her eye to eye and be able to say something like that coming from your heart. Does that feel like something safe to do?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes it's not.
We have the definite dynamic where she's
yeah.
she's the mom and I'm the daughter, and I know my place.
That's right.
Hence the difference in my style of raising my
kids.
Not that they're in charge by any means, but you know, I do let them express themselves probably more than she let me.
That's right. So what you have to do then, if you're not willing to or not able to or doesn't feel okay to, then you have to say to yourself when those thoughts come up that you're starting to attack yourself or judge yourself, you have to say, replace those thoughts with, you know, I'm a good mom, I'm doing it the way is good for me. And just make sure your kids don't get a lot of judgment on them. Troy, do you want to add anything here?
I think there's something really interesting in Alyssa's situation that has something to tell us about the nature of anxiety. You know, the anxiety is not like a cold. It doesn't just happen to you from some external source. It's you doing something, behaving in a certain way, and that has a function. It does something. And I think that most of the time what that function is a way to control and mitigate uncertainty. And, you know, I suspect that you're suffering more now than you probably will at the time because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Oh.
Or you have a vision of what might happen, and you're reacting to that. And when it's actually in process, it probably won't feel quite as harrowing. I mean, it will certainly be challenging, and it will certainly be something you would rather not choose. But when it's right in front of you, when you're dealing with it moment to moment, it has a different magnitude.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. What do you think, Alyssa?
Well, I agree. I call it my ramp up phase and then my kind of let down phase. I mean, she's visited, multiple times. So I've gone through this a few times. And,
yes.
You know, sometimes the anxiety is not worth the energy that really
good.
What really happened. But sometimes I'm burying my head in my husband's chest and crying. So,
Know what happens? What happens is all this old stuff comes up. When we see our parents, it's not just current time. It's all the past times we've been disappointed or hurt or, you know, parents are so imperfect. So I think if you're prepared, I'm going to send you a copy of this great little handbook, 30-Minute Therapy for Anxiety, because it has some really good little exercises and they're connected to a website that gives you more. But if you can plan things, plan how you're going to keep her busy, plan how you're going to do time for yourself. Maybe you'll give her a job to clean out a cabinet that you need cleaning out. I'm also going to send you a copy of a wonderful video. It's The Day the Music Stopped. And so even though you have some young children, this is a very healthy, wonderful video by Juno Jr. And I'll send you one of their videos so that you could have time where everyone's just chilling and ask her if she would sit and watch the video with the kids. So do some preparing. Take a look at this book. I'm so glad you called in this morning, and keep listening. Maybe people will have other ideas for you.
And cry in your husband's chest, because that's a huge strength. What you did is you are letting it all out, then you go back and have enough strength to deal with her.
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Wonderful show. Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. So we're talking about yelling less, reducing stress for the holidays. We have Jennifer with us from Hayward this morning. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Nurse Donna. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going for you today?
My day is about to end. I'm just leaving work. I'm on my way home.
Wow.
And I'm hoping I get some sleep.
Sleep is important. You have two. It looks like you have two boys here.
That's right. I have two boys. And I was listening to the show when I got in the car, and one of the things that struck me is stress. Well, several things. Stress, anxiety, lack of sleep. And what I'm going through right now is when the kids get out of school, we're going to be moving. And I'm actually still trying to solidify where we're moving to. You know, I'm still looking at places, and yesterday I had the worst outburst on my son. He had socks that were too small, and I yelled at him, go get the right socks so we can leave, because I didn't want to be late to see this place, and then the people see me as not being on time, and they start thinking, oh, well, she's not going to pay on time, and I had all this these thoughts rolling through my head, and I took it out on him.
Yes.
And didn't even realize how worked up I was.
That's right.
Until his little face was all switched up, and he walked away and said, and you know, it's like, I didn't mean to do that.
Of course not.
I didn't even realize, after jumping up from a short nap after working all night, that now I'm stressed out. And I've hurt my baby.
Exactly. And, you know, that happens to really good people all the time, Jennifer. So, first of all, you're not alone. You're trying to manage things. And our kids do let us know when we've gotten into a state that's hard. And I want to say that I've learned over the years that you can repair those times. You can repair those times by going back and saying, you know, honey, this is what happened yesterday. And I just want to say, you know, I'm sorry I took it out on you. And I wonder how you're feeling about the unknown of the move. I think, Julie, that's probably how you would talk to someone about this, isn't it?
Oh, first of all, I want to say how much I appreciate your honesty. I think that is the first step for all of us as parents, is recognizing when we do great things and honoring that, and when we fall short. And we all do. That you're not alone. I have. We all have several times. The reality is reflecting back on it and how that felt and what you did and what Rona said, the repair. All of our relationships grow stronger when we go through this repair, which is going back and saying, I'm sorry, I was really frustrated, depending on the child's age. And then the child learns to do the same thing as they grow up, and you grow closer as a result. So good job in just being so honest and reflecting on it so that you can make a difference next time and make a different choice.
Yes, and I think for you also, Jennifer, is to take a little time and figure out how am I going to get a little more sleep? How am I going to make sure we're eating okay? And sit down with the family and say something like, this is stressful a little bit. Let's talk about what we're going to put into place over the next few weeks, even though things are up and down, that we all cherish. And maybe do something where you're all giving to someone else also, because that actually increases happiness. So maybe you'll make that extra serving of something and give it to a neighbor. But I think you're really thinking about this in exactly the right way, that you didn't mean to do it and you don't want to take out those feelings on your kids. I really appreciate you calling. And are in general, are your kids doing okay?
They are doing fine. I do know that my son is very worried about the move. And my 10-year-old is more worried than my 7-year-old, or at least he's articulated it. He's concerned that we're going to change synagogues, and he says it feels like home, and he doesn't want to give that up. And we're not changing synagogues, but everything else is changing. You know, his friends at school won't be there anymore because we're going to a totally different area. And
it's a stressful time for kids.
Yes.
And just let them keep talking about it. Don't let it get to you when they express their fears. I'm going to send you a book that I have actually called Parenting Your Stressed Child. Not to say that your children are normally, you know, under a lot of stress, but right now they are. Michelle Bailey is a pediatrician, and she has some really great exercises in here of ways to help everyone relax in the family, especially the kids. I think you'll find this useful. Jennifer, take good care, and best of luck, and let us know when things settle down, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Childhood Matters. Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters. Stay connected by liking us on Facebook.
Thank you, David, for telling people we'd love you to like us on Facebook. That would be great. Let's take a listen now to what some parents have to say about this stressful time around the holidays.
I'm producer Felsha Zuschlag, and this week I spoke with parents at a middle school basketball game and at beautiful Lake Merritt about their thoughts on holiday stress.
Do you get more stressed during the holiday season?
I'd say yes, because you have to do a bunch of shopping and trying to get everything that the kids want.
Yeah, I don't have as much time to work because we're doing other things, traveling, visiting family.
I would say there is more stress because there's more things to do, and December 25th is the deadline.
It used to be, because I was focused on buying my kids things. They were worried about receiving instead of giving.
And how does your parenting change during the holiday season?
with the holiday season, all the shopping and stuff, I think I have less patience.
I get very impatient.
I may be more crabby, maybe, or more just efficient, bossing people around to do this.
I don't yell, but I try to make lists, be more of a taskmaster. So I'm always constantly doing my list, reevaluating it, and checking it off and adding to it.
I yelled more and I was more impatient.
What are the factors that make you most stressed?
Timing and money.
Money would be number one. And then just hoping that everybody gets along, you know, extended family.
The children disorganizing my house, not putting things back the way they were, throwing food away. And mommy, can I have this? Can you buy me this?
And do your children get stressed, or do they notice your stress?
If anything, she's stressed because she wants it all. And she's not sure if she's going to be able to have it all.
He's learned some new cuss words. But he mostly has fun, unless he sees his mom and I too stressed out.
I think they are, because they see that you're doing a lot more and that you need their participation and assistance. But I think they look forward to getting together with family and the parties and the gift giving and stuff.
They notice, and it affected them. When I get stressed out, they act out.
And what are your suggestions for reducing stress?
Save their money, calm down, and take their kids shopping. They can do it online.
Go surfing, do something, get outside and move.
Exercise, do something for yourself, start shopping early, and get your calendar organized so you know who's going where, what events are happening, and give the kids lists to do too so they're helping out to get things done.
Definitely try to do something for yourself. Also ask for help.
Remember that it's better to give than to receive, and it really makes you feel good when you give.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
A lot of basketball game going on back there. Thank you, Felsha, and thank you for those parents. You know, Troy, I'm really struck by how we let the materialism of the holidays get to us and how we get into this cycle of having to have more. And when parents don't have a lot of money, they seem to feel guilty as well sometimes, and everyone's used to getting a lot. And I'd love to see people really rethink all of that. Any comments from what you just heard from the parents, Troy?
Well, I was struck by the fact that most people seem to know exactly what they need to do. And it comes as no surprise. The issue is just making the choice to do it. What you say is true, but it's almost trivially so.
How so?
If we could get behind the idea that the acquisition of more things and the kind of futile attempt to take a shovel and fill up that great giant empty hole in the middle of us with stuff will probably not work in the end. There's all sorts of issues in our lives that we'd be taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, it would be more than just holidays. We'd probably be a few steps closer to loving our fellow man and world peace.
Right. Yeah. And it's so interesting when you do make a decision, like, you know, in my family, we all decided at some point we wouldn't get everyone presents, or we would give to nonprofits. And, you know, I mean, there. And again, we're going to do a show next month more on that. But I think reassessing is so important. But what you said is also good, that parents know what they need to do, like exercise and get out more and do things like that. It's a matter of doing it. Julie, anything stand up for you?
I think each person has to make a commitment to make a choice to reduce their stress during this time in advance. For several years, I told my kids and I told all my family, we are traveling, just my two boys and my husband and myself, every year during the holiday. And we would go on trips together. We were able to make that choice. And all my relatives would get mad. Why aren't you, this is the time we all should get together. Because I couldn't take it. I couldn't take the stress. And I told my kids, I said, they're like, why do we have to travel during, we want a Christmas tree and Christmas gifts. And I said, because we're valuing family and the time that we spend together during the holidays. And I made a choice that was difficult. And some years we made choices to not give gifts to adults. And sometimes it's not so popular, but to survive the holidays, you have to make a choice in advance to reduce your stress so that you don't let it hit you and you're reacting all over the place. And sometimes those choices are difficult and have some consequences.
And come back to the real essence of meaning.
Yes.
You know, when I think about Thanksgiving, I don't get stressed because we all chip in on the food. We all cook together.
Exactly.
You know, we sit around and enjoy the day, and there's not a whole lot of heavy expectations. So, again, your kids are going to be happier if they have your attention.
Yes.
And if they have time with you. Let's take another call. We have Robbie with us this morning from Oakland. Hi, Robbie.
Good morning.
Oh, hi there. There's your wonderful voice. What do you think about all of this, Robbie?
Son Jamil wanted to say hello real quick, if that's okay.
Sure. Jamil?
Say hello.
Hello.
Hi, Jamil. How you doing this Sunday morning?
Good.
What are you going to do today?
Okay.
He's done.
He put the phone back. Okay, well, I just wanted to... comment on as far as times like these, you know, the holiday times when things, you know, do get real stressful.
Yeah.
I think what helps for me is you know, trying to teach my kids what's really important during the holiday times like these, such as far as giving to people that are in need, people who are less fortunate, people who can't give you back anything. And, you know, it just all ties into I think, things that I've talked about on the show before as far as, you know, teaching the kids about compassion so they always won't be worried about gimme, 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 but, you know. Really,
that's right. That's
really
right.
Fulfilled with giving.
Well, you know, and Robbie, you know, as we've said so many times, we model that for our kids. And, you know, when we lose it and yell and get stressed, again, don't beat yourself up for it. But, you know, realize that that's what you're modeling also for your kids. And so the more you can work on reducing your own stress and then being able to have the thoughts like you just had and conversations around what's really important, it goes a long way. And I have to say, raising four kids, you know, I certainly had a lot of times when I wasn't thinking clearly. And, you know, but I also know that I've modeled a lot for my kids around the values that I really cherish. You know, Robbie, I wonder if you have this book. It's called Mem Fox, Whoever You Are. It's a really beautiful book about children all over the world and how we're all the same. And it's a book about values. I just thought that if you don't have it, we'll put it in the mail to you. Thanks for calling this morning.
Okay, thank you.
And Robbie, did you hear that we got some money to stay on the air?
You know, no, I didn't.
Yeah, I announced it a little while ago because you were here last week helping us, trying to make sure we could stay on the air. And I wanted you to know that some money came through. And so for right now, we're good to go. So thanks for your help, Robbie.
Wonderful, wonderful. We need Childhood Matters.
Well, I need you. So I look forward to seeing you again. Take care, Robbie.
Okay, have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. Bye-bye. Let's take a call now from Jennifer from San Pablo. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just have a comment that worked for me, or maybe a suggestion for other parents. I got two boys, a teenager and an 8-year-old with ADHD. What worked for me is communicating with the family and letting them know that changes are going to be made. I used to make these elaborate Thanksgiving dinners and at my house, and the house was beautiful and nice. And I realized with my son, as he's growing and he has all this energy, and with a teenager, I needed to make some changes. So the dinners are still at my house, but it's more of a potluck now. I don't end up cooking for 2 days. And I made changes. The skateboard's allowed in the house from the kitchen to the living room. And I did allow the teenagers to toss a football. So, you know, I got some relatives and stuff. But you know what? That's what worked for me. And I'm not yelling as much here. I'm not as stressed. So
Beautiful, Jennifer. That is such a good example of letting people know, you know, we're making changes. This is what's happening. I'm accommodating what my kids need. You know, I'm not going to let them jump on the table, but I'm going to let them use the skateboard if I want in this area. I love it. And because of that, I'm going to send you some tickets to the Monterey Bay Aquarium. It's such a wonderful place to go and get away and enjoy, you know, the beauties of the ocean. And I think you would enjoy that with your kids, I'm sure. It'd be a wonderful trip. So have a wonderful holiday season, Jennifer, and thanks so much for calling.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Troy, let's go into a few more things in your little toolbox here of helping reduce stress and yell less. You want to give us a couple more examples?
You know, I this theme this morning just keeps coming up of people who start making a choice in their life and feel better about it, even if it maybe comes with the occasional bump. This sort of comes later in the book. Up front, we talk more about dealing with specific manifestations of anxiety, but the second half of the book has more to do with the sort of general quality of life issues, and getting clear on what really matters to you is a big part, a big sort of thing that we describe in the second half. And then this sort of unique idea that this model of psychotherapy has, that this work, this stuff grows out of, about what it means to commit to those values. And it's a different understanding of commitment maybe than we have in everyday speech, where it's not so much about making promises about the future as it is about moment by moment making the decision to turn back to those values. You know, it's certainly the case that anything that is significantly important to us, any value that we hold, we're likely to turn away from it more times than once.
I know that. Yeah. Isn't that true? You know you got to get to the why, or you know you really need to be meditating or whatever it is, or cleaning your house or cleaning your closet, and we move away, and then it's like remembering to come back, I think is what you're talking about.
Sure, the heart of commitment really is in the turning back. It's not in the achievement.
Yeah. Well, good. Thank you for that. And the book you're referring to is The 30-Minute Therapy for Anxiety, and you co-authored this with Matthew McKay, who's written a lot of wonderful books on relaxation, stress reduction, how to yell less, really important stuff. And I want to mention that Family Paths has a hotline, 1-800-829-3777, 1-800-829-3777. And this is a great 24-hour hotline. If you find that you're getting so stressed that you really feel like you're about to lose it and, you know, either yell at your kids or hit them or punish them harshly, and you just feel like you need someone to talk to and there isn't a partner to, you know, cry and on their shoulder or someone else to call, you can always call Family Paths to get that kind of help. I think we're going to try and squeeze in one more call here. We have Sarah from Oakland. Hi, Sarah. We have 1 minute left. What would you like to add?
Well, I just wanted to ask, with ADHD, how do you control this? How do you keep from yelling when your kids are so out of control all the time?
Yeah, it's a big question. And I think, number one, it's always remembering that this is neurobiological and that a lot of this is not done on purpose to get to you. I think what happens with kids who are impulsive and hyperactive, it feels sometimes like it's happening, you know, almost to get your goat. The other thing is finding outlets for them where they feel creative and productive, and really seeing the trigger times of when are those hard times during the day when their fuel tank is empty, maybe they haven't had enough protein. You know, you got to track when the hardest times are and keep getting support and help from your community, from professionals on it. But I think going back to some of the books that talk about the struggles of kids with ADHD will help remind you and help you breathe. And I'd be glad to send you a book, which is the Parenting Your Stressed Child, because it will help you. There are some exercises in there that will help you, and you can teach your children as well how to come back to center. And Julie, is there anything you want to add there? A balloon exercise?
Oh, you know what? It's just, You said the caller said that your child is out of control and how do you stop from yelling? And it sounds to me like you are really seeking to add some more tools to your toolbox to understand your child's behavior and how to help. And I think that if you want to leave your number, I'm happy to call you later or hook you up with some resources where you can find and build more tools to strengthen your relationship with your child.
And I think, you know, being able to keep reducing the stress for you and breathing will come a long way. And also, you know, just remember that there are people out there to support you. We all need each other very much. Julia, final word for us.
My final word is a challenge to the callers to make a decision about what is it that you want the holidays to look like for your life rather than what they should be and what you've thought they should be your whole life. And what do you have control over? And make a decision to move forward. And what do you not have control over? Let go.
Thank you, Julie Kurtz, for everything you do. And I also want to thank you, Troy Dufresne, for your books and your work and some really good words of wisdom this morning. I hope you have a really good holiday. And remember, folks, think of what you're grateful for. It will increase your happiness, and over time, actually, it will help you be healthier. And I want to say how grateful I am for you, the listeners of Childhood Matters, and the sponsors and donors who have stepped up to help us stay on the air. It's such a blessing for me to know that I can be here each week to talk with you. And I want to thank our team, Felsha Zuschlag, who's on vacation, who's our producer. I want to thank Marco Berger for stepping in and helping us, Lorenzo Plazola at the controls, and my gratitude to my kids, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina, and my wonderful husband, Mick. This is Rona saying goodbye until next week. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media. Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.